Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spirit Travels Radio. I'm Karen, and this is Jolene. Hi, Jolene.
Hi.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm okay. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I had a little bit of an issue for just a moment. My song decided to start over for the second time, but it happens. I guess what we will do, I'll tell everybody a little bit about our guest tonight. His name's Keith Duncan. And he is with Zip Paranormal out of Texas.
Oh.
And if I'm not mistaken, Keith is already online with us. So if you're ready, we'll go ahead and bring him on.
Oh, let's do it.
Hello?
Hello?
Keith?
Yes?
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. How are y'all doing?
Doing pretty good.
Doing good, thank you.
glad to hear.
Had a little issue with my music there for a minute. Did you hear it?
Yeah.
It tried to start over on me again, but...
It's a pretty song.
It is. I like it. It's actually by a brand new group that are just now starting to get promoted. The name of the song is I Like It Like That.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you who the band is real quick, because I have to pull that information up on it. But it's a really good, it's a real good song. It's by BBT.
Mm.
And they should be hearing them later in the year. But anyway, let's get back to you, Keith.
Yes.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about you and your group?
Well, we're just a paranormal research group, and I heard you say that we were out of Texas, but actually we are out of Zip City, Alabama.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's all right.
I don't know why I wanted to say Texas. For some reason, I thought it was Texas.
Well, no, it's Alabama, actually, the northwest corner there, right close to the Mississippi line.
Okay, well.
Is that by Anniston, Alabama?
I'm sorry?
Is that by Anniston, Alabama?
It's about an hour and a half west of Anderson, Alabama.
Oh, okay. I have a cousin who lives out there. That's why I asked.
Yeah. But there's actually I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say there's actually eight of us in the group that does the investigations and everything. We've been doing it for quite a while now. We just decided back in 08 to go ahead and get our group together and organize as a organization. And we bring quite a bit of experience with us out when we do an investigation, plus some high-tech equipment, you know.
Wow.
Now, with your techniques of investigating, what is your favorite technique as far as equipment and so forth?
Well, I myself personally like the IR cameras for the simple fact that they really don't cast no shadows and all. But as far as technique, I like to do the EVP sessions and everything, and it's always nice when you can actually get an audible that you hear at the time. But that isn't always the case. It's usually when you're reviewing the evidence.
Right. Have you had anything that just absolutely shocked you after going back over your EVPs or your film?
Oh, yes, most definitely. I actually have some footage of one of our lead investigators actually getting touched, and you can actually see his shirt being pulled up from the back, and then he just totally freaks out and jumps. He thinks it's the guy that's filming behind him, but we actually caught that, his shirt raising up. And then and during that same little session that they were doing that, we had an EVP that just says just plain as day you want them to get out.
Wow.
That's very
so that was a good experience on that one there, which we had a lot of personal experiences at that location. That's just some of the evidence that we did actually catch. Which we had a lot of EVP. It was a real active location. And it's in the northwest corner of Alabama also.
Would be your favorite location? I'm sorry, Joel.
It's all right.
It's really hard to say a favorite location. We have so many that we do that we have a lot of activity at. It's just hard to pick a favorite.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and ask your question.
I was just going to ask him if your group and your team travels outside of Alabama toward the southeast and, you know, down into the south and then up toward, you know, here in Virginia and everywhere. I was just interested in to know if you check out all the very active paranormal places that surround Alabama.
Yes, ma'am, we sure do. We travel through different states abroad.
Wow.
We really have no set limitation on how far we'll go. You know, if
right.
the people need help and call us for the help, then we try to go. But we do try to go to places that are, you know, well known as far as the paranormal and investigations and all. We try to hit the hot spots, I guess you would say,
mm-hmm.
as far as in the southeastern area.
That's interesting, because the Carolinas and Virginia, you know, being Virginia's got so much, you know, history from 1607 and further on back, and so do other states all over, and yeah, there's so much that paranormal teams from all over can go to all different places and see things, and even off the beaten road, you know, and go to the backwoods, you know, and where there are places like we have one place here in Virginia called Surrey, and there's so many places out there that I normally don't get scared. I'm not a person that gets scared of things, but that one kind of shakes me a little bit. But I just, you know, just places like that, you know, I find them very interesting.
Oh, yes. I always like the old plantation-style houses that's got rich in history.
Mm-hmm.
Now, would you care to tell us what it was that caught your attention with the paranormal, or what type of experience that you had that made you decide that you wanted to research the paranormal?
Sure. Like I said, I've been doing it for a while, but I've really been interested in it for several years. I actually had a personal experience myself where I actually seen my grandmother after she had passed on several occasions, and that's what really got me as far as wanting to do investigations and documentation and stuff, because I was real close with her, and then like I said, I had that experience where I'd seen her on several occasions, and that just, I don't know, there's just something about that particular incident there for the last time that I seen her that just really sparked me as far as wanting to prove or disprove, you know, the paranormal side of, you know, because sometimes when you see stuff like that, you know, you kind of just shun it off as an overactive imagination. But like I say, that particular time, it's like I could, it's like she was talking to me, but her lips weren't moving, if that makes any sense.
It does. So from that point, at what age were you when you saw her first?
I was in my early 30s.
Wow.
Like I said, she had been passed away for about 7 years, I believe, and which my brother lives in her house right now.
Oh, my.
And that's where I actually had seen her, was there at her old home place. There was, she lived there, you know, ever since I can remember.
Oh, wow.
That's very interesting. You know, it's not all the time that loved ones, when they cross over, and they leave us, that they my father passed away a year and a half ago, and I think I keep waiting, you know, for him to let me, you know, see him or hear him or, you know, something, and I, not yet, not, there's nothing there yet, and I figure it's just not time, but I keep kind of waiting, you know, to be able to, you know, maybe hear him one more time or see him, like, you know, much like you have your grandmother, and it's something that, you know, when your interest is the paranormal, I think you anticipate that. And
yes.
That's what I can relate to that, and I think that my anticipation is maybe a little bit more like how come I haven't seen my dad yet type thing. But I was very, very, like you were close to your grandmother, I was very, very, my father raised me, and I was very close to my dad, and when I had my son, you know, he was always there to help me, you know, and my dad shared a great amount of his life after he retired from the military after 30 years. You know, he was there, you know, to see me through a lot of the bad times as well as good times. And then when he passed, it was very hard to accept, and it still is because it's still fresh. But I keep wanting to see him. I keep wanting to hear him or anything just to let me know he's in the house or he's somewhere where one day I'll be able to just see him one more time. And I anticipate it so much. Maybe that's the wrong thing for me to do, but, you know, being it was just, you know, my son and my dad and I as a little family, I think that's why I feel it, you know, so strongly.
Yes. Well, you know, it's subject to happen at any time. And, you know, with you anticipating it, you know, maybe, you know, a wrong, you know, persona for it may just be one of those things where you're most least expecting it, then it's just, you know, going to happen.
I think you're right.
I agree.
Well, thank you.
Normally that's when it does happen, is when you least expect it.
Right.
And those are some of the best experiences, I think, that you can have when they are non-negative experiences with a spirit.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
Are you still there?
There for him, he's, you know, he can draw that energy and make his presence known to you. I'm not saying try to discard it and not think about it, but
right.
When you least expect it, it's probably when it's going to happen.
Happen, right. Well, thank you for sharing that with me. I mean, I formed our own little paranormal team here in Virginia, and I never, you know, really talked to my dad much about it because he's an American, you know, he grew up in an American Indian, you know, reservation and heritage, and got away from it when he was 17 and joined the United States military and spent 30 years there. So when he finally got out of the military and got back into the sort of like the flow of home and things like that, you know, I shared with him, you know, or tried to, that this was something of my interest and so on. And he's old school and very traditional to begin with, and that's what he installed in me. But my interest and my love for the paranormal was still there. So, you know, and also the different aspects of it, and, you know, the way that different teams do different investigations and what they, you know, receive from the investigations. And out of all the investigations you have done, is there any one that stands out as the one that you would put you in the position to where you would really like to go back to that one again and do it again and see what you received out of it a second time? Or have you already done that? Or
yes, I have a spot here locally that we go to on a pretty regular basis. That you know, because everyone got so much out of it as far as personal experience, plus documented evidence from it that we kind of use it like a training base for when we got new members or test members to let them come in and see how we do our investigation, how we set up, the type of questions we ask, and our type of routine, because it's just an overwhelming of good energy that you feel when you fill in, you know, when you walk into a place. Sometimes you got that eerie feeling, and sometimes you just got that kind of creepy feeling, you know. But this particular house that we do this at, it's just like when you walk in, it's just like a happy cloud is the best way I can explain it. Everybody's, you know, attitude and the aura there is just so positive that it's, you know, for people that haven't done anything like that or experienced any kind of, you know, activity or anything, that when they do, it's, the atmosphere is so positive that it's really a good, positive perspective for them on it, instead of just something to make them want to just turn and run out the door.
Well, I'm now you've got my curiosity. What do you do when the energy is not positive and it's a negative energy, and you know, you don't really want to run out the door because it sparked your curiosity of what is bad here and why is it bad? You know, what do you and your team, how do you work through that?
Well, we try our best to keep it on, even in a situation like that, as a positive, because we try not to get into the negative too bad. I mean, I got some friends that, you know, if it's real bad, I'll call them in and let them, you know, see what they can do as far as cleansing or anything to that extent to help the people that, you know, if it's a real bad, I mean, you're going to get a negative just about anywhere you go, but it's, I mean, I'm nowhere near a professional or nothing, you know. We're what I would call weekend warriors, but we do have a lot of experience, and we do conduct ourselves in a professional manner. And when it comes to something like that, we'll stand our ground to an extent, but if it's real bad, then we get other people to come in to help with that type of situation.
Now, what do you do in order to protect yourself and your team before going into an investigation?
Well, we'll all together as a group. We will have a group prayer and everything, and try to invite the deity of God to be with us, which he's with us anyway, because we're all God's children.
Yes.
Our little prayer ritual there before we go in, and then we'll also do one before we leave, so that if there is something real negative there, that it'll stay and not attach itself to us or anyone in the team. We won't go in and provoke or nothing, you know, especially if there's a bad aura or, you know, or anything of that aspect. I mean, which we try not to provoke anyway. I got one team member that he kind of likes to every now and then, but I'm trying to talk with him about that, because that's not a good thing to be doing.
No,
it's not. I was going to ask you what your thoughts were on provoking.
Well, like I say, I myself stay away from it. You know, I mean, I'll do questions and ask and try to get responses and stuff like that, but, you know, I mean, as far as provoking to where, you know, trying to get it to touch somebody or something like that, I really don't do that. And I don't like for the team members to do that kind of stuff because of the, you know, like I said, I've got friends in the other side of what I call it. As far as the bad auras and demonology or whatever, which we don't do none of that, but they do. So, I mean, I do know a little bit about it. Enough to that I don't want to mess with it.
Right.
And if it comes to something that needs to be messed with, then I'll get them involved into it.
Right. I have a question. I wondered, in Alabama, do you ever investigate the crossroads? And I know that, you know, in Mississippi and Clarksdale, Mississippi, where the Crossroads are a very prominent legend through the blues guitarist Robert Johnson, and I'm sure you have come across this many times. What your opinion is on paranormal teams investigating crossroads? We have one here on a plantation that's basically right across the highway from me, and it's one that the slaves used to get out of the slave quarters and go into historic Colonial Williamsburg to escape, and so it's there. And I just wondered what your opinion and thoughts were on that.
Them are always good places to go to. My opinion on those is there's a lot of residual energy there that just plays over and over. And what I like about those type places is it doesn't necessarily have to be a nighttime investigation. You can get EVPs and stuff like that even during the daytime, and especially with places like that, because they're so high in the imprinted energy that's there on those places. Them are always nice to go to.
Yeah.
We have one here just outside of Florence here that is the Forks of Cypress. It is actually an old plantation house that got struck by lightning and was rebuilt in 1812. And then in 1880, it was struck by lightning again and burnt, and it never was restored then. But all the original pillars are still there. Some of the slave quarters are there. There's an actual graveyard there on site. It has the slave graveyard that's there, which a lot of their tombstones are just marked with field rocks. They don't even have headstones on them. So there's a lot of unmarked graves there on that location. But it is real rich with energy.
Right. I know that... speaking of that energy, when my son and I, we like to just take strolls sometimes in the early evening before it gets dark, and we went across the highway over to the plantation over there. It's called Carter's Grove Plantation, and I got kind of curious about the crossroads that's there, so I went, and there wasn't a breeze blowing that day or nothing, and it was very, very, you could feel energy everywhere. It was almost like tingling lightning. It was everywhere, and I went right over to where the hole was in the road of the crossroads, and you could actually see where it had been dug time and time and time and time again. Through history, I guess, through the decades and centuries of the slave quarters are over to the left of that, and you could see where they had, you know, come across the field and dug, and I was just curious. I've always been curious to dig it up and see what was in there, but my son, being the more logical thinking one, because my curiosity gets to me, and it does. And he said, "Mom, get away from..." I'm sorry?
I said, it does us all.
Yeah, it does. And he told me to get away from it. And I looked over, and he said, he without saying anything, he used motion. The trees and everything started blowing, and we hadn't had any breeze that day. And they were like just—it was like a dust devil that was just blowing, and the dirt was blowing. And he said, with his mouth, "He's toying with you. He's toying with you. Get away!" And I did. I completely got away. And when I got down by the other end of the fence and got away from it, everything just stopped.
Huh.
And
that's very.
And I looked at him and I said, you know, I mean, he's got that natural ability, but, you know, I looked at him and I said, thank you, you know, because I was being maybe a little too nosy and a little too curious, And I wanted to know. That's what was wrong. I wanted to know more. And he saw it, and he said, I don't, you know, we hadn't carried any, you know, anything over there to as a marker or anything to draw anything or sea salt or anything that we needed to take with us. So we had empty pockets, but it was because I had walked over to it that it brought it on, and it's still there as of today.
Oh yeah. That's always exciting.
Now I'm curious if you investigate quite a few cemeteries.
I don't do a whole lot of cemeteries. We might go every now and then with some of the, you know, kids and stuff like that, just to do an outdoor one that is in a, you know, pretty good spot and clean for kids to be wandering around to take snapshots and maybe shoot some nighttime video, just to get them familiar with the equipment and stuff. But we don't do a whole lot of graveyards.
Okay. Well, what is your opinion about, because I know it upsets me when you have some that go into a cemetery and they desecrate the cemetery with breaking the stones and so forth. What are your feelings about that?
I do not approve of that. I mean, we should let our, you know, friends, family, loved ones be at rest. And to me, that is just disrespectful to the max to be doing something like that.
I agree. It bothers me so bad to go into a cemetery and see where one has been done, you know, that way. You know, and
yes,
it is very, very disrespectful.
Yes, it is. It angers me to see it done, or, you know, when you come into a place and they've, you know, done that type of thing, you know, especially some of the older tombstones and markers that is about to wither away anyway, that's so old that you barely can read the writing on it. You know, and then you got some hoodlum that wants to come in and just tear the place up out of just pure disrespect.
Yeah,
it's frustrating.
I agree. And there's something else I wanted to kind of, and it just kind of brought this on when we were talking about this, but the digging up and building over a cemetery. I've noticed there's a lot of that that's been going on lately.
To me,
it is.
You know, I don't think that to me is still desecration. They need to let them be and build, you know, somewhere else. I mean, them to be building right there. I mean, because that to me is just not right. To be moving plots or anything to that factor, or even building on top of it.
Right. I know that there's some there's a native burial ground that is they're in huge fight over it right now. I'm not sure exactly where it's at. I think it's out in California, if I'm not mistaken. But there's a certain big huge company that bought the property, and they're just going to mow it over, you know, just completely build over top of it. And it's very upsetting because, you know, they know it's there, and it's just very, very disrespectful. So yeah,
I don't see how they could get away with doing that. I mean, that is beyond disrespect, in my opinion. They have no business or no right, whether they bought and paid for the land or not. They should not. If anything, they should mark it off and keep it sacred, in my opinion. Mm-hmm.
I agree. They did one like that in Nashville, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 years ago, and they built over top of it, and I was very bothered with it, and I'm the type of person, I believe so wholeheartedly that when they do that they awaken, you know, certain spirits that does not need to be woken. And I won't go there. I refuse to go there. I mean, I know where it's at, and I won't even stop, you know, if I'm in that area. I pass it up.
I don't blame you a bit.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about your research. How do you go about doing your research before you go out on an investigation?
Well, I have two members my wife and her sister actually do the research. They'll go to the local courthouse, or they do a lot of research online to get information so that we don't just go in blind running. They really handle that side as far as the technical and research side of the site that we're going to. They'll do a background check, previous property owners, or how long that a house has been there, if there were any other buildings or dwellings that were on the property before that house or whatever. And they do a real good job at it. They usually dig up quite a bit of information on places that even the property owners were not aware of.
Oh, wow. Now, do they like to go as far back with that research? I'm a researcher, so I enjoy.
Oh, yeah, they do, too. Yeah, they'll go back as far as they can go, or as far as that they can get to, you know, depending on the time frame that we have, you know, to do the research. But they, even after we have done places before, and even after we've done our investigation and stuff, and they had done research on it, then something will happen to exciting their curiosity about it, and then they'll turn around and go back and do more research on it and dig a little deeper.
So what is the longest that they've spent on doing research?
Actually, I couldn't really say. I mean, I know that we've done some like 3 or 4 months ago, and Wendy is still researching on it, trying to go back come to the 1800s, if she can. She's trying. So I would say she's probably has went up to 5 and 6 months before on doing research on places.
Wow.
But she would be really the one to ask that, because she knows more about how much time she does on what, you know. She would just call me or on the way to the investigation and talk about what she found out, this, that, and the other, or shoot me an email.
Okay. Well, I didn't mean to get off onto that subject, but, you know, research is what I do for my group, and I've been doing it for 4 years, so that's kind of my expertise, you know, as far as, you know, the group goes, and I love
right.
it. And I think with being a researcher, you have to be an avid history lover. You have to love history, because if not, you know, you're going to be bored doing it. And but I love it. I spent as much as 6 months on one location. I believe I was telling you about that a while, you know, when I talked to you last week. But
yeah,
I enjoy the research, and I'm sure that your wife does as well.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any more questions, Jolene?
Well, I was when you were talking about people who own land or have bought land that are you know, native people of this country have been here centuries ago. We have a piece of land that's in back of us. It's the nickname of it is the BMX. Because of the railroads that run through where the Amtrak trains go through. And there's this man, and he owns a construction company. Nobody likes him. But my son had built by hand a campsite. Actually, he built two. And one he keeps for himself to cook hot dogs or hamburgers and to sit and meditate or to have time to himself. And then the other one is in case anything should ever happen in this world, he would have a campsite to be able to build lean-tos, help others. Help them survive, live off the land. There's ponds, catfish, everything to hunt, rabbits, squirrels, everything out there. It's a huge, gigantic forest. And this man one day saw my son out there, and he told him, he said, you don't look like the kind of young man that, you know, is out here for trouble or to cause havoc or what have you, because he said he had had some dirt bikers that were out there that got on his nerves. And my son turned around and he said, no, he said, I'm out here because my grandfather raised me in our culture and I have more right out here than you do. And the man looked back at him and he said, he asked him what his name was. He said, I don't have to tell you my name. He said, but I will tell you this. He said, you can't run me off of a land that my ancestors were here long before you ever bought, and he emphasized the word bought, this land. He said, but I will turn you into the architectural department at Jamestown. He said, because this is Native American burial ground. And the man literally backed up and he said, what do you mean it's burial ground? And he said, you don't know what Native American burial ground is? And the man had no insight to what it was all about. And so, and from that point on, my son, his name is Robert Sparrowhawk, he came home and he told me, and he called Jamestown and he told them that this man is using a tractor over a burial grounds, and he's digging, he's paving, he's doing things to the woods that should not be touched, and that he did make two campsites. And he said there were many nights that he knew in his heart that the Native warriors had come and sat by the fire, because he always made a fire with rocks surrounding the fire so it never got out of the fire pit. And he's a fire keeper, so he knew what he was doing. But this man began to invade their privacy at rest, you know. And there, he said many nights you could see or hear spirits out there, and they were so peaceful with my son, but not peaceful with this man. And it just reminded me of that time when he approached my son and said that he bought the land, and my son turned around and said, you cannot buy the sky, you cannot buy the earth. And he said, so right. You didn't buy anything, you know. And I was so proud of him, you know. I was so proud that he spoke up and he wasn't afraid of, you know, because the man tried to intimidate him. And,
right.
And he spoke right up and he said, any time that you want to argue this out and I have to go to court, I'll see you there, because I'll bring about a good 1,000 people with me when I come. So you run across people like that who don't realize that he knew more history of that forest back there that he calls home than that man out there who's now had to quit doing what he was doing. It's brought to a halt. He's not doing what he was doing before. And nobody goes back. He's not back there anymore digging and taking up the deer's home and the raccoons and the possums and the snakes and everything that made that a home. He was ready to tear down our trees, everything. And I was so proud of my son that he put a stop to it.
It's something to be proud of.
Yeah. What case have you had that has stood out to you the most? I mean, you don't have to tell us location if you're not able to do that, but kind of tell us, you know, what happened, basically.
Well, we had a place here that we've had some recording equipment, cameras and stuff get moved. We've had digital recorders get pretty much thrown across the room. I'd have to say that's probably the most interesting and highest activity place that we've done, which we have been back to twice since then, and the activity has subsided quite a bit from when we first went. But that one there, I believe, has probably stuck out to me more than any because of some of the EVPs that we got and the ways that the EVPs was talking and trying to get us to leave and trying to pretty much push us out the door.
Right.
Like it just didn't want us there or didn't want our equipment there or nothing. It's like we were just totally bothering.
Have you determined as to what type of entity it is? I mean, negative, I'm sure, but
We've come to a conclusion that it was an elderly couple that actually had a house that was torn down, and this house was actually built in the place where it was. And we think it's more them trying to say, hey, this is our place, this was ours, and we're not leaving. And y'all are going to leave, or we're going to make you leave. I don't think it's like a negative entity as far as something other than some angry people that are trying to stake claims to their property and let it be known that, hey, we're still here and this is our place and we're not leaving. You can deal with it.
Do you think it's possible that they don't realize that they have passed on? Or do you think
that
maybe they're aware?
I feel that they're aware because of the activity that they do to try and catch you off guard and maybe scare you to where you'd want to leave. And, you know, I don't know if it's much as trickster or just, you know, that they are aware that they have passed and that they know that if we do this, it'll scare them and they'll leave or what. You know, because there's been the house since this one has been built has actually changed hands several times. So I think that they are aware that they are, and they know that what they are doing as far as activity-wise and the stomping and door slamming and stuff like that, that the people are going to just up and move out because of it.
You know, it makes me kind of wonder with that is how they would react if someone moved into the house that was a paranormal investigator, that was used to that type of activity, that didn't move. You know, would the activity get worse or would they let it go? I mean, it's a thought, you know. It just
You've got a good point there. Actually, one of our researchers actually has been living in this house for about a year now. That she has, her and her family has actually purchased the property, and since she has moved in, the activity has actually subsided quite a bit. I mean, there's still paranormal activity going on there as far as the pops and footsteps and stuff like that, but as far as the real bad energy that was there as far as slamming doors and knocking digital recorders across the room and stuff like that, that activity is not, it's still there, but it's nowhere near like it was there. So I feel that she's dealing with it, they're dealing with it, and they're kind of coming to a mutual understanding of, hey, you know, I'll share this place with you, you just got to share it with me. You know, they're not leaving, she's not wanting to leave, so, you know, I guess it's all in how you go about, you know, responding to it, you know, which she has said herself, you know, she's told them several times, you know, she wasn't leaving, that they would have to deal with her just like she's going to have to deal with them. And since, you know, she's been having that attitude with them and toward the stuff that's been going on, it's nowhere near what it was when she first moved in.
Right.
Well, I'm glad that it subsided. And it could be that because they're not being able to feed off any fear. She's not
That's
fearful
true.
Of them.
That's very true.
So I'm a firm believer in they feed off your energy.
Yes.
I am too. I believe it wholeheartedly that they do. I've had some things that's happened, and I don't react. You know, it's more of a I'm shocked, but I try not to show fear. And I think that's the best thing to do is not show your fear. My team always tell the client, you know, and I will tell them too that if I'm the one talking to them about setting up an investigation or what have you, but I always tell them, do not acknowledge what's there.
Right.
Try not to let it get to you because they feed
right.
on fear.
Right.
Very right.
And I think it's a good thing to do, you know, and be that way.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to know if someone came to you and they asked you what they needed to do to get involved in a paranormal team, what would your suggestion be to them? Someone that's never done it before, but they think it's just the coolest thing in the world to do, and they want to go do it. So, you know, and they were asking you your advice.
I would tell them that they may want to think long and hard about it. For one, it's not for everyone. I know it sounds exciting and it's intriguing. And, you know, I mean, you've got to be real open-minded. And like you say, you've got to be firm. You've got to be strong. You've got to be able to stand your ground, whether you're spooked or jumped or not, you know, caught off guard. But you've got, my personal opinion would be to tell them you may want to think it over before you just jump into it. Or get with a group of people that's doing it and set in on an investigation and go from there, because you never know how you're going to respond to something when it happens. I mean, we've been doing this for a while ourselves, and I still get caught off guard, you know, as far as something happening just totally off the wall and unexpected. I mean, I'm not going to say that I get scared, but I do get startled. I have been startled on several occasions because of the activity that's going on that you don't really expect. And if you do not know how to handle it and take it, then you're not going to react in the proper way to do it. And, you know, and then it could lead to a bad thing, you know, most definitely could lead to a bad thing.
Exactly.
But I would kind of probably steer them away from it right off the bat, you know, but, I mean, I would tell them it's something they may want to do some research on and read up and do some research themselves on the actual, you know, the paranormal field and stuff because of all the variety of things that could happen.
I agree. Do you think too many people are now getting involved because of what they see on TV?
Really, I do. I feel like there's a lot of people out there that are not experienced in the field and are just gung-ho weekend warriors, I guess you would say. And, I mean, it could lead to a very bad incident, you know, to where something, you know, I mean, I hope it never does happen, but, you know, there's going to probably be a point in time with some of all these newer people that are getting into it that haven't been involved in it and haven't done their homework, to say, that they're going to come into a situation where they're going to really meet something bad and not know how to handle it or protect themselves or their group, and then, you know, it's subject to get attached to one of them, if not all of them. And then there's too big of a field and too wide open, you know, things that could happen for someone just to be, you know, go, I mean, because it's easy to get into, you know, but the right knowledge is, I mean, it's like anything, education is the key.
Exactly. I agree. And I also think that people that need to be aware that once you do get involved in this field, they know you.
Yeah.
It's like you're marked. You know,
yeah.
They know who to go to. So it's always that easy to get out of it. I mean, you can leave and you don't do the investigations anymore, but they're still going to search you out.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Well, we are down to the last 5 minutes of the show. Do you want to put your websites out there where everybody can get in contact with you?
Sure, that would be great.
Okay.
They can reach us at www.zipcityparanormal.com, or you can reach us by email at zipcityparanormal@yahoo.com.
Okay, well, I wanted to tell you that we very much appreciate you coming on this evening and chatting with us. I would love to have you come back on again. and talk some more with you. It has been an honor having you on tonight. Yeah, I've really enjoyed talking with you.
Thank you very much.
I've enjoyed it myself. I am honored to have been on your talk show.
Oh.
Well, just know you're more than welcome to come back on any time, and I will be getting in contact with you to set up a future date.
All right. That sounds great.
It was an honor to meet you. Thank you.
Same here. It's an honor to meet you.
Thank you.
Okay. And I appreciate it very much. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. And I want to wish you a great evening and have a great 4th of July.
Bye.
Thank you. Y'all too.
Okay.
Thank
Take
you.
Take care.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, this is almost the conclusion of our show. We have about 4 minutes left. I want to thank everybody for coming in and listening to us tonight. We appreciate each and every one of you. I want to wish everybody a great 4th of July weekend. Be safe, please. Be very, very safe while you're out this weekend. And I also wanted to bring up something really, really quick. And it has nothing to do with the paranormal field, but it does have to do with animals that are in shelters. If you want a pet, go and save some of these animals from these shelters, because they do put them to sleep. And there's so many great animals out there that need homes. They're also needing homes for horses that go through, that are being shipped to the slaughter barns and houses and so forth. So, you know, you can get online and check it out and find the websites to go to and donate to help these people, because there are a lot of rescues out there that do really great work. But anyway, I wanted to thank you, Jolene, for coming on. And
thank you.
It was a great show, and I'll be chatting with you shortly.
Okay. And thank you for having me. It was a beautiful, wonderful show.
Had a great time. Another great show. I guess we are going to play our out song, and we will see you all next week. Okay.